Hello, everybody. This is Steven Dutzman. I am the founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com, and I am here with Evan, the big guy, and we are driving to GameStop. So it's not quite a ride to work. This is like a weird special edition of the daily commute. Once again, proving that just about any time I am in a car and don't have anything specific to listen to, I will be recording something, and I'm kind of okay with that because we've done some cool stuff. Now, this is going to be a short episode, but Evan and I had a few Nintendo-related topics that we want to talk about, and this is basically just going to be me kind of seeing where Evan is at on, you know, some of the upcoming Nintendo titles. Now, yesterday was the big day. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee came out. Because of the weather, we didn't actually get to go pick it up. We're actually on the way to go get our pre-order right now. So it's a get hype moment for us. We are going to be purchasing Let's Go Eevee because that's the one I wanted. And maybe we'll get Pikachu later. Maybe. Who knows? So the big thing that we wanted to talk about is that this, between Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Animal Crossing coming next year and a new mainline Pokemon game coming next year, like, it really feels to me like there has never been, now is the time, I think, for all the one family, one Switch households. I think it's time for I think that it is at least worth exploring the possibility of getting a second Switch. Because Animal Crossing, Pokemon, and this year's Pokemon, all three of those games are, you know, going to be tough to share. And I think there's value in getting a second Switch. What do you think, Ev?
I think there's a great value in getting a second Switch.
So, let's talk about those games individually, right? I mean, let's talk about Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. Realistically, there is not a big difference between those games, except for the fact, it basically comes down to the fact that Eevee, being not an electric-type Pikachu, is more flexible with its moveset, correct?
Yep.
Because it's a normal type Pokemon.
But I don't really know why.
Do we know if they have Eeveelutions in this game?
I don't know why. I haven't read the press stuff or any of the reviews.
I haven't seen any press stuff. I really have been trying to keep it quiet as far as, I haven't even read any reviews because I really wanted to go in this, pure. Because I have the advantage of, time. Because people that want to buy this game have already done so. Like, it is, there are a lot of hardcore Pokemon fans that are like, OMG, I want, quote-unquote, real Pokemon, but 90% of them are buying this game, and at the very least, stomaching it, because it's a new Pokemon experience to tide them over until the big one next year. So really the big difference, the biggest difference is the starter Pokemon, which is, in Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, you start with an Eevee. In Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, you obviously start with Pikachu. The game randomly determines whether or not you get a male or female version of the two Pokemon. So if you really want a male Pokemon, like what Ash had during the cartoon, then
got to save and quit a bunch of times.
You may have to save and quit. I actually saw on Facebook that a guy was like, I don't want a female Pikachu. Why don't you let me choose it? Because he had to restart the beginning of the game like four times.
But you had to do that but the Pokemon are always randomly generated, which...
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Listen, if you really want one, I think there's value in switching. I think for... with that said, I think on this kind of game, I think that it really wouldn't have broken anything if they let you, because you get to create your character.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously I'm going to create Meggie.
Yep.
And And so would it really have been game-breaking if they let you say, okay, this, if on the starting screen, like, you go through and you create your character, and then the next thing it goes, okay, and this is your starter, do you want a male Pikachu or a female Pikachu? They don't need to make them statistically different, but they do have different looks. They do look different.
The female Pikachu has a heart for it on its tail.
Yeah.
And a male Pikachu is...
It's a straight line. So, listen, I think since it's purely aesthetic, they don't need to make it so that the female one is faster and weaker and the male is stronger, because that's like 80s style NES stuff. We don't need to do that, because statistically speaking, male and female versions of Pokemon don't really have a difference, right?
They don't, except for breeding.
It's just for breeding, but...
But this game, but I haven't read anything, but I'm going to assume that this game isn't going to be competitive.
Yeah, you're probably not breeding Pokemon. So, I think this is kind of the start to the wave of games where there is value to having a second Switch in the house. But I think this is just the beginning, but I don't think this one is really where it comes down to. There are three games that I think make a difference.
Yeah.
And the first one I'm going to talk about, and we haven't mentioned it yet on this, is Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like, the reality is, Fortnite is by default a multiplayer game, right? Like,
yeah.
It is not a single player experience. There's Save the World mode, but
Save the World isn't even...
It's not on Switch, and Save the World isn't even a single player experience.
You need to... I played through the first, like, 5 missions single player, and now I'm stuck on a mission because I haven't gotten anyone at school to play Save the World with me yet.
Because everybody wants to play Battle Royale. So it is a multiplayer experience, and having a second Switch in the house, especially if you don't have another console, now that there's crossplay, like maybe you have somebody, you know, if you want to play Fortnite with your kid, maybe, you know, maybe you have a PlayStation in the house or an Xbox and you can do that. But if you don't, a second Switch is a cost-effective way to get that. So I think Fortnite is another case where that makes it a different experience. Being able to sit on the couch next to the person you're playing Fortnite with is awesome. And they got Smite coming out next year, which I think will be a similar situation. Like, you and me being able to play Smite, like, right next to each other on the couch, that sounds awesome. Like, I can't wait for Smite nights. That sounds like a good thing. We're going to have to stream that. Let's put a pin in that. That's going to be a good idea. Smite nights. So, anyway, that's just really good. I'm distracted by how good Smite Night is for EFG.
Hashtag ADD.
Yeah. Welcome to our world. So that's Fortnite / Smite / Paladins. I mean, there's a bunch of those multiplayer games. Paladins would be awesome for us too. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a piece. Could you imagine if they ever put Overwatch on the Switch? Oh my goodness. Anyway, so that's that piece, right? Like the multiplayer games. Having another Switch in the house really does change the experience, because playing Fortnite with your friends over a headset is cool, but playing Fortnite with your kid or two brothers or brothers and siblings, right, playing together right next to each other is a cool experience, right? And when we talk about, you know, there's value, we do it already because we have one on the Xbox or one on the PS4 and one on the Switch. But, you know, they're learning to communicate and they're learning to, you know, be a good leader. And they're learning how to negotiate because maybe they don't want to land at the same place. So this is a good way to kind of learn some of those things. So that's the multiplayer piece, right? It does make a lot of these multiplayer games infinitely cooler, knowing that you can play a game and you've got a buddy just built in. Now, the other thing is, we got to talk about the games coming next year.
Yeah, or games that one game that we know is coming next year.
Okay, so what game do we know is coming next year?
Animal Crossing.
Okay, so the most recent Animal Crossing game released, not including the mobile game Pocket Camp, was Animal Crossing New Leaf on the 3DS.
Which broke outgrew expectations of Nintendo.
I mean, it sold so well. It's still one of their better selling 3DS games.
Yeah.
And it's one
of the better 3DS games.
True. I mean, we should do a top 10 list of, like, the 3DS games that you must buy if you're buying a 3DS right now.
Yeah.
We'll do that today. We'll make the list. So, Animal Crossing. Here's what it is. More or less, we've talked about it. We talked about what Animal Crossing is on a very recent episode of Engage, a family gaming podcast. Evan actually gave us some really good... a rundown of what the game is. But I'll review it here, since this is a new audience. I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, Evan. Raise your hand and stop me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
So, in Animal Crossing, historically, you have come to a new town.
Yep.
You have been either in charge or relatively important there. You buy a house, but you don't get to buy it outright because you don't have money. So this guy, Tom Nook... gives you a big old loan.
And enslaves you.
And more or less enslaves you, but that's kind of dark. He basically is a mortgage company. He gives you bells, which is money. And you use that to buy a house, and it usually starts very small.
But you buy the house from Tom Nook.
And then you then go around the town, and you are basically, your job is to The goal of the game over time is to collect more bells by doing different activities so that you can pay off Tom Nook. And as soon as you pay off Tom Nook, as soon as you pay off one loan, Tom Nook gives you another bigger loan and you expand your house.
Yeah.
And then you rinse and repeat. Now, some of the things that you can do to raise money are there are trees that bear fruit. You can go shake the trees. The fruit comes down. You can then collect fruit and sell it. There are bugs places that you can capture. You can sell the bugs.
Or
you can donate them to the museum. Does that give you bells?
No, but you donate them to the museum just for...
Well, because the other piece is, there's one thing you can do is sell stuff to try and earn bells. Another is kind of to be a completionist and to basically collect things, some of which are rare, some of which are only available on a given day. For example, there are some things that are only available in the spring. So if you buy the game in August... you have to wait until the spring for the game to come out.
Or you can just change the time.
Or you can cheat, but let's presume that you don't, because you know what? Friend of the show, Nicole Tanner, who is the host of Geeking with the Moms with me, her claim to fame is that she played Animal Crossing on the DS. Wild World, and got everything without changing the time once.
What?
So she played that game crazy. Not really crazy, because... And we'll talk about some of the gameplay patterns with Animal Crossing, which I kind of enjoy. But she played that game consistently for a year. And so the idea is, your town is only so big, and all the activities are within the town. Yeah. So you can go fishing, because you have a beach, and there's going to be an orchard-like thing, and you can go get fruit there. And there might be a garden where you can play around. And there are villagers you can talk to and do quests. All the games are slightly different. Yeah. All the games have gotten a little bigger one at a time. And that's just how games work. And all the different villagers have different things that they might need. And so you can do favors for them, which are basically quests.
Yep.
And maybe one guy will say, listen, I need like three of these bugs and an apple because I want to make a pie. Or whatever. And then you bring him those things, and he might give you bells, he might give you other items. Now, and that's, at its surface, that's what the game is. Now, I will say, probably one of the most family-friendly games that they have, because it literally is just, I mean, more or less, Animal Crossing is just Sesame Street, right? Like, I'm guessing the next one's going to be a city. That's what I think. Like, so far,
it's been... They already had a city.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be something like that, like a big city, and you're going to own like a building in it. It's going to be like capitalism, and you'll be able to do stuff in the park. That's what I think it's going to be. Who knows? I would have loved it if it was just an extension of Pocket Camp, and you had like a campground. Maybe it'll be an amusement park. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But it's a super family-friendly game because everything is adorable, right?
Yeah.
Everything is adorable. They're all little, you know, talking animals and, you know, like, which is great.
The only time it's not adorable is with Villager and Smash.
Okay, well, Villager is a character that does appear in Smash, but even still, he's adorable, and so is Isabelle. So, and I expect that she'll probably play a big role in the Switch version. So, basically, from a visuals perspective, you're not doing anything aggressive. I mean, is there combat in this game at all? Not really, right?
No.
No, I mean, the worst combat you do is you catch bugs and fish. I mean, technically, you know, fish are alive and then they're dead when you catch them. So
unless you're like, well, you don't do combat unless you're like me and Jacob, and we find a way to twist the game.
Oh, I mean,
with the items that they have, like a bug net and a shovel.
Okay, so you guys run around and whack each other, but you guys play hide and seek. I mean, that's what's really neat about this game is the boys have found a way, because they both have Animal Crossing on their two DSs, and even Megan has her own copy that she's slowly learning to play. It's a little bit above her because she's 5, but she's slowly getting there. But they figured out a way to play where they can, because you can go into each other's towns. Because one of the things that's really awesome about it is you can decorate your town. You can create tile sets. The creation aspect for the Switch version is going to be off the charts.
Yeah.
So you can go into each other's towns and you can trade. And you can, maybe I have mangoes and they don't sell very well in my town, but maybe if I go to Evan's town, I can go to Evanstown and I can sell mangoes there and maybe they're worth 10 times as much there. So, like, they encourage you to go to other people's towns. And if you're playing at the same time, then you're just running around on the map together, which I think is super cool. And you guys have figured out how to play hide and seek. How do you guys do that?
We just play the game. One of us hides in somewhere in the town.
Okay.
Usually in the museum because that's the easiest place to get lost in.
Yeah.
And then we go and we try to, and once you find someone, the person that you find is going to try to run from you so that you don't get tagged.
And then you tag them with a net?
Yeah. Unless you're in a building, because you can't do that, because you can't have an item in a building.
So, I mean, it gives you a pretty cool tool set to be able to play stuff, which I think is super fun. And the other thing that I really like about Animal Crossing is that it is not a game that requires hours upon hours of play every day. This is really a game, it has kind of like that mobile game sensibility where they really, it's called check-in or appointment-based gameplay, where it's like, you know what? I don't have to play this for hours, but I just need to check in and look at my town 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, check in on it and do it. And if you don't, it's not the end of the world. The town will likely get a little shabby. You might have some weeds to pull, you know, whatever. But as long as you check in regularly.
Just don't leave the game out for a month, because then you're going to go in and...
Yeah, don't skip it for a month unless you're done with the game. But that's one thing that I really like about Animal Crossing and why I can't wait for the Switch version, because this will be the first one that I have played that I'm actually going to really spend time in, is that you can check in it and, you know, you can go in and, so you just check in and you play for 15, 20 minutes and you do some of your very basic tasks. And you earn some bells, and you know do whatever the little gimmick is in that game, and then you move on. It's a great little experience. I like it a lot. So that's Animal Crossing. And it's going to be. And I think that adds to the reason why having multiple Switches is a good idea, because you can just play together. And also, you don't necessarily have to compete for time. The next one, and I think this is probably the biggest one. Let's talk about the next Pokemon games. We don't know a lot.
We don't even know what their names are.
But we can assume that they are going to be traditional Pokemon games in that they will be role-playing games. I mean, we know they're probably going to change something, right?
Yeah.
But we can assume they're going to be role-playing games.
Yep.
Which means they're going to be long.
Yep.
Means that, you know, they're... So, I mean, how many... We figured it out. We looked at your system. How many hundreds of hours have you put into Pokemon? Like, Pokemon Omega Ruby, which was your jam for like a year, you played that game.
More than...
And you still play it.
Yeah.
Is a... I mean, hundreds of hours. And we're talking...
200, 300.
Yeah. And the reason for that is, you know, every you played a lot with, you know, side-by-side with your brother. You played side-by-side at the daycare with some of your friends.
Yep.
You played in the car constantly. I mean, we drive an hour to church front and back every Sunday, pretty much. So that's 2 hours a week just from that.
Yep.
So, so we know that it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
And so by having multiple switches, and also there are multiple versions of the game, we assume. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could just make one and it wouldn't hurt them, but they've figured out that they can make two versions of the same game and people will buy them. And they know we're on the hook for, you know, how, you know, maybe two copies. We don't really know how it works. And also, there's a multiplayer component to those games.
Yeah.
I mean, let alone whether or not if they add cooperative play. Like, if they let you do the Animal Crossing thing where maybe you can run around in the same fields together and there's, like, an advantage to doing so.
Yeah, I wanted that with Omega Ruby.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Sun.
But even if they don't do that, you know you're going to be able to battle and trade. So having multiple switches to accommodate those trades, to add that teamwork aspect, right? Because if you're buying two copies of the game, you buy the two different versions, and then you can trade the unique Pokemon back and forth with each other. You can work together. It does add a cooperative element. And you and your brother did cooperate on both Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but also on Sun and Moon.
Cooperating on Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I basically beat Alpha Sapphire for him.
Irrelevant. You helped him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it adds a cooperative element to the game, which I think fundamentally changes Pokemon. Pokemon, a lot of folks think it's like a solitary experience. I disagree, right? They imagine, they see all these kids, you know, face down into their 3DSs playing Pokemon. But really, I think Pokemon's a shared experience anyway, because every time you run into a kid or a grown-up that loves Pokemon, I mean, you immediately know the language and you talk to each other. You know, we're going to hang out with our cousin Seamus in the next couple of, you know, the next handful of weeks. You and Seamus are going to just jam out to Pokemon immediately. And then we're going to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
But the idea of, like, just the idea of, you know, turning it into a cooperative experience is worth it.
Yeah.
Lastly, let's talk about the math. You've heard me tell this story. I'm just going to throw it out here. Here's the math. This is why I think a second Switch is actually a viable purchase.
Yep.
So, let's start off. Baseline right now, a Switch is $300.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
So, the Switch, assuming you're not getting any kind of special edition or bundle, let's just presume that you're buying a baseline Switch. It's $300.
Yep.
That comes with the Switch, two Joy-Cons, and a dock, and all the appropriate cables.
Yeah.
That's relevant. Not super relevant, but it's relevant. The dock, you can either, if you have use for it, for example, if you have another TV in your house that you wouldn't, that you think it would be a good idea to have a Switch to, like maybe you have, you know, a smaller TV in a sitting room or a playroom or, you know, something like that. Or maybe you use a TV for a computer monitor. And sometimes you might like to just have a kid quietly playing Switch. You can hook that Switch up to a smaller monitor that's not the main video game TV. And then you have a second place to play console games.
Yep.
Doesn't even need to be in your house. Do the kids go to grandma's house every once in a while and play video games? Do they go to your uncle's house? Do they got friends? You can bring that. You can then have a travel dock So there's vet, so you don't have to take your entertainment center apart, and you can bring video games wherever you go. The dock is relatively small.
Yeah, and so it's easy to set up.
It's super easy to set up. So there's that. Or if you don't want it, you have no reason to. There is absolutely a market for that. I have been looking for them, and they do sell relatively quickly. Guarantee you, you'll be able to sell a second dock on the Facebook Marketplace. Brand new Switch dock, absolutely. They retail for almost $100. I guarantee you, if you took it, put it on a Facebook Marketplace for $50, you're going to be meeting somebody at the police station that day to trade it with them. And you'll get $50, which basically makes that Switch like $250, which is a pretty good deal on top of things. But Evan, there's more. Did you know that Switch comes with a pair of Joy-Cons?
Yeah.
That I know you're going to use if you own a Switch, right? Yep. Because there's plenty of reasons to have extra Joy-Cons. Backups, in case one gets broken or lost. So even if you don't need them right away, put them in a box, save them, because eventually you will need them.
Yeah.
Alternate colors are fun.
Yeah.
But you can put them in a box, you can save them, or you can use them. A pair of Joy-Cons is $80. So if we take that $300. Let's say you sold the dock for $50. And then you save $80 because you get another pair of Joy-Cons. That means $170 for the Switch tablet, which, how much is a 3DS XL right now? About $200. So if you were going to buy another set of Joy-Cons anyway, which many of us were, because maybe you need a second pair or maybe a third pair because you want to play more multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Selling the dock or finding value in it, because there's reason to have it, it does become a value purchase. So it's not like you're spending the full $300 and not getting anything out of it except being able to play. You know what I mean? So again, that's my thought on the Switch. I think Nintendo's intention has been to try and move people in the direction of not thinking about the Switch as a home console. They want people to think about it as a hybrid. And I think part of that hybrid piece is we all bought 3DSs for our kids with abandon. You have one. Yeah. Jake has one. Megan has one. We have extras.
Yeah.
So our house has 4 3DSs in it right now.
Yep.
And it's not out of the question that we might have more at some point as things are replaced, right?
Yep.
But at the very least, even if we never buy another one, we already have 4.
Yeah.
Thinking of the Switch as in a handheld way, it's like, you know, this is kind of a handheld console.
Yeah.
You got to think about, you know, it's not like buying 2 PlayStations, which is a little bit extra. This is different. So, anyway, that's our thoughts on this. Do you have any final thoughts on why it might be getting close to time for a second Switch in people's houses?
No, we basically covered everything.
And I think it goes without saying, if 2 is arguably worth it, 1 is a no-brainer. If you're listening to this podcast and don't own a Switch, especially if you have kids, the Nintendo Switch is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great games. We're all in on the Switch this year. And it's not getting any worse. Could you imagine a kid? Let's picture a kid, he's 8 now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe mom and dad not big on getting him video games, but next year, next Christmas, he gets a Switch and they go, "How about this? Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Animal Crossing, and Pokemon." That's a thing. There could be a kid where between mom and dad, aunts and uncles, and Santa and all that, boom. Like, would you? You would die. I think you would pass out.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are at GameStop. Yeah. So, this has been Steven.
And Evan.
And this has been our ride to GameStop. I do hope you guys have a great day. I will talk to you on Monday on my ride to work. Until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see you soon. Bye.